Hi, Monk Podcast listeners. The following is a sample of the Monk Members Only Podcast. To access the full-length edition of this episode and all of our regular Monk Members Only Podcasts, go to our website, www.monkdebates.com, and register for membership. Membership is free, and it's available for you right now at www.monkdebates.com. Hope you enjoy the program. Hello, Monk members, and welcome to this, our weekly podcast. This is a show that we curate for you, meant to provide, in 30 minutes or less, some new analysis, insights, ideas for you to think about in terms of the week that was and the week that is coming, as our guide to these extraordinary events that we find ourselves in. We're exceedingly fortunate to have Janice Gross-Stein on our program. She's the founding director of the Monk School of Global Affairs, an internationally acclaimed scholar, author, and my former teacher of international relations, along with thousands and thousands of other Canadians around the world that she's influenced through her scholarship and teaching. Janice, oh, great to have you back for these kind of informal seminars.
And just great to be with you and all the Monk members.
We have to kick off this week with this kind of war of words that Joe Biden has escalated with President Vladimir Putin. It really began in an interview this week where Biden, responding to a question from a journalist, kind of inferred that Putin was a, quote, killer, and that Putin had acknowledged to him that he had no soul. You once said something to be very wise, Janice, that, you know, there really is no foreign policy per se. This is all kind of domestic politics amplified and focused through, you know, how leaders behave on the international stage. So what's your take here? Is Joe Biden engaged in an attempt here to kind of shore up domestic support for a kind of strongman image of the United States on the world stage? Is that what is going on?
Roger, there's no doubt this is a domestic politics story. But let's take a step back just for 1 minute to talk about something that is directly in your wheelhouse, how the reporter set this up for Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is not famous for the careful use of his words and thoughtful responses. That was always an issue with him. The reporter says to him, President Biden, are you saying that President Putin is a killer? Do you think he's a killer? And Joe Biden says, yes, I do. Now, you know, any experienced person would look at that and say, oh, that's entrapment, right? Biden went somewhere, agreed to a word that wasn't his, that was the reporter's. But he did agree, and the screaming headline is, Joe Biden says Vladimir Putin is a killer. And that's what unleashed this whole story. Rule number one, when a reporter gives you a word to describe somebody, don't take it. But that's not going to help with Joe Biden. This is the first of many that we will see like this. But I watched the interview. And the second thing is when the reporter asks him the question, Biden narrowed his eyes. He's angry. Now, what's he angry about? He's angry about Russian interference in U.S. elections. That is a domestic politics story. And he's angry that Trump never acknowledged, and he wanted to show himself as different than Donald Trump. He wants to essentially signal to the U.S. electorate over and over, I'm not Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was craven in the way he treated the Russians. That's not me. I'm going to be tough. So this is entirely, really, a domestic politics story.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, you know, it hasn't been covered a lot in the media here in Canada, but this whole SolarWinds hack where the Russians basically used a third-party software provider to basically penetrate huge swaths of the U.S. Government, of aligned agencies. It was really probably one of the most profound cyber breaches of the U.S. government in, you know, recent memory. And So I get why there is a lot of frustration and anger. What I found interesting this week is not just Russia, but, you know, as we go to air, you know, China kind of brushing back U.S. criticism coming out of some high-level bilateral kind of meetings. Janice, is it right to say there's a kind of a different attitude towards America and American power on the world stage, where these countries like China and Russia, you know what, Mr. Biden, you can sound off, your Secretary of State can sound off, but, you know, we're going to speak back, and maybe we're not as worried as we used to be about your ability to create pain points for us that will actually change our behavior.
You know, that's the larger story here, Richard. Again, you know, as someone who watches for these nuances, an astonishing story coming out of Alaska, where Secretary of State Blinken had the first really cross the table meeting with his counterpart from China. You know, he broke protocol. Blinken, he pointed his finger at the press as he was about to speak tough to China because they were getting ready to leave the room after the usual photo ops. No, 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 he said, come back in. So he signaled to the Chinese that he was going to record his tough talk for public consumption, whereupon the Chinese responded and broke protocol in return. And instead of their usual 2 minutes at the beginning, they went at the United States for 15 minutes. Now, I could say this was the most unprofessional performance by both the U.S. and the Chinese delegations. Just like, frankly, this was not a very mature performance by Joe Biden either. But there is a larger picture here that you put your finger on absolutely correctly. The United States knows that the Chinese and the Russians, for different reasons, perceive them as weak under Donald Trump. The feeling of the Biden administration is both those countries took advantage. The solar wind story is a huge story. It's probably one of the most neglected and most important stories about the widespread breach as a result of a cyber attack and the vulnerability of everybody to this and how unprepared really the United States and all of us are for that kind of reach. In response, the United States is upping the rhetoric, but they're getting pushback. And there is no question that both of those, both Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, are saying to the United States, this is a different world. We're more powerful, you're less powerful. And don't think that it's business as usual, that the United States is back to the world that it left in 2016.
Our remaining moments on this topic, you know, where does it go from here? Because Biden has implied that Russia, you know, is going to have something served up courtesy of the U.S. government, the security apparatus, I don't know what. In other words, there was an implied threat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we looked at those sanctions. We talked about them in a previous show about how, you know, they weren't targeting the leaders. They were targeting the people around the leaders, you know, again, suggesting that the Americans weren't ready to really take risks in terms of their pushback to either Saudi Arabia, Russia, arguably China, too. So why isn't it right for just China and Russia to call America's bluff to in a sense, provide an objective demonstration of the decline of American power?
Well, you know, there's no question something's coming, Richard. Again, watch those eyes in the interview, and that's where Biden narrowed his eyes. What's coming, and it's a difficult dance. What's coming is an offensive cyber attack by the United States against Russia, and it's going to happen in two ways. The first way is going to be invisible to everybody but the Russians. And the United States are not going to acknowledge it, but they have deeply penetrated the systems. You know, things like the electricity grid, we're talking deep and fundamental penetration of all these systems. And the United States has forborne very deliberately from using these kinds of weapons, because think of the road we're going down. I do this to you. You know, the Chinese just shut off the electricity grid in Mumbai last month to send a signal to the government of India, soften up your position in these border talks. Once we get into this world, we are in a very different world where you use offensive cyber weapons. The United States will do some of that to Russia and never talk about it because it doesn't want to openly do it. And then it will do something more visibly that the rest of us will know about. But this delay is all about carefully choosing what kind of cyber weapons they are going to use against Russia.
But Janice, are you, this is so good, we got to go a bit longer here. I mean, are you worried that, I mean, Russia has a history of punching back. I mean, Putin, look at Crimea, look at Georgia. This is not a guy who just sits on his hands and says, well, you know, I slapped your wrist. You're now, you know, you'll slap mine and we'll call it even. I mean, this worries me. I mean, these are two large nuclear armed powers that have clearly, you know, bilateral relationship now, which is bad as anything during the Cold War.
That's why, in a way, it's unfortunate that, you know, that Biden with Russia, Blinken with China has upped the rhetoric out of the gate. There could have, frankly, been more sophisticated messaging. But here's what's really interesting, Roger. It's not nuclear weapons that are the threat here. We're in a new world where lower levels of warfare, because that's what cyber warfare is, lower levels of war can inflict huge damage. So how would we feel where we are if our networks were shut down for 36 hours? How much would that interfere with our lives right now while we're in a pandemic? I mean, we wouldn't be able to function, frankly. But every single, we have built, and this is a larger point, we have built a cyber system that you live on, that I live on, that our monk members live on, which is vulnerable. We cannot protect it from attack from the outside. And it's vulnerable at any moment when countries like China or Russia, or cyber criminals choose to shut it down. We don't have a precedent for this.
But again, as you say, the temptation for escalation and the temptation for...
So what constrains escalation, Rudyard? That's a really great...
If I was the United States, I'd be pretty worried about my economy. I'd be worried about the financialization of my economy, the stock market, how reliant I'm on that. Any large-scale disruptions of the American power grid, communications would, you know, cause huge shockwaves of uncertainty through the U.S. economy. So why would I risk going after Russia if I'm so vulnerable internally?
So that's exactly what's constrained America from using its cyber weapons. It has been reluctant to go on the offense in a serious way because it knows how reliant it is and how vulnerable it is. And the solar wind story, you know, to me, it's absolutely amazing. You know, the breach was discovered not by any and not by the the security agencies or Homeland Security, or it was discovered by a private company months after it occurred. But you could see it. The United States really angry about that hack, really angry about election interference. And you watch, you know, you read my lips. They have said it now several times. There will be consequences and nobody will know about some of them. There's only one way to read that. They are going up the cyber warfare ladder against Russia in the next couple of months.
Well, Janice, we've gone long in this segment, but I think these are just, you know, fascinating and somewhat hair-raising issues to discuss. You've been listening to a sample of the Monk Members Only podcast. To access the rest of the episode, consider becoming a member. Membership is free and available at www.monkdebates.com. Once you've joined as a member, go to your membership profile to access the rest of this episode and all of our Monk Members podcasts. Thanks for listening.